That's all I got.
That's it for this week.
That's all I got.
That's enough. That's totally enough.
Nothing fancy, just...
Grr. I don't sound as ferocious as you.
But you are. But you are, Caitlin. Don't worry.
Oh, thank you.
What's up, everybody? Lawn Disorder. Hey, coming at you with Lawn Disorderly News for the week of February the 26th, 2024. Gosh, is it already the end of February?
Yep. It's also leap year week. We have leap day this week.
Leap day. Mm-hmm. Where you like jump around, everybody jump around. Are we playing, what's that song?
Jump around.
Jump up and get down. What is the name of that dang song now? It's just called Jump Around. Yeah, Jump Around, House of Pain.
I don't know. I don't even know who sang it.
House of Pain.
Who's that?
The name of the band that sings Jump Around.
Oh, okay. Never heard of them.
God, another thing that you don't know. Well, all right, before we get too far into this, let's kick a shout out to the sponsors. Thank you to Wayspace Audio for the music. And to Young Ideas Dish for all of your Dish, Google product, and cell phone needs. Hit them up.
Thanks, guys.
So we're here, and we are talking Lawn Disorderly News. So let's get into it. Caitlin, what is going on this week in the world today, this week?
Well, I mean, there's lots of stuff every week. But let's just talk about some of the things that I think, you think, we think are probably the most interesting and that people might find amusing or they'll care about the most. The first piece of news for all of the millennial girls out there, maybe some Gen Xers, is in regards to NSYNC.
The band.
So the band, the full band, is going to appear on Justin Timberlake's new album that he is releasing.
Ooh.
So it's going to be like a little NSYNC reunion, and I'm kind of all for it.
It's a song called Paradise, and his album drops, I believe, March 15th, and yeah, I mean, I guess that's the closest that we're going to get to a reunion, at least for now.
Mm-hmm. And none of the singers from the band or the group have, like, come out and said, yeah, this is happening. A couple of them have, like, alluded to it on social media, because I don't know if they're allowed to say anything or for some reason they're just not, but it's like, it's kind of known, like, this is going to happen. There's going to be a song on there.
Yeah, and this is a few months after they did the song for the movie Trolls. Was it Trolls Band Together, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty exciting that they're kind of all together. But at the same time, when they were NSYNC, it was really Justin Timberlake featuring NSYNC. So what's the big difference?
You know, I understand JT, like, went off and had like the biggest solo career and got really famous. But you know who else I really, really liked from that band, who I think could hold a tune just as well as Justin, if not better, was JC Chavez.
You know, okay, I'll give it to him. He held a tune. I met the dude back in the day. When I worked in radio and he did his solo album, he performed at a radio station concert that we did. And I was in the backstage area, and the dude's warming up, like physically warming up. He's dancing and all this stuff. And that was the one thing that we were in awe of. We're like, man, this dude can move. Like, he's like, you know, pop locking and breaking his hips and all this stuff. And I mean, I was 22, 23, I think, when this was going on, but we were all pretty impressed with how agile he was. So, you know, that was a professional thing. You know, you could see, like, man, that dude's good. I remember that nobody really cared about him. Like, we were all just kind of like, it's the dude that was in NSYNC. That's not Justin Timberlake. We had one girl that worked with us that loved NSYNC growing up. And she was like, I think they asked us, like, hey, do you guys want to take a picture with him? And we're like, no, we're good. And that one girl's like, oh my God, you sure you don't take a picture with him? I'm like, no, we're good. And she got all the time that he would have spent on all of us. He spent it all with her. So,
aww.
Yeah, she got a once in a lifetime opportunity, and we just got to blow off JC Chazzy. So you know, whatever.
Did I say his name wrong? Now I feel like an idiot.
I think it's Chaze. I don't think it's Chavez. Yeah, it's Chaze. It's Chazez. It's a spelling bee. Chasez.
Yeah, I literally pronounced it Chavez.
Chavez. You pronounce it Chavez.
Chavez. Chazez. Chaze.
I think it's Chaze. I don't think there's a Zez. I don't think it's Chazez.
There's no accent mark either or anything.
You know, just call him JC from NSYNC and they'll know who he is.
So there's a JC and a JT.
I mean, he went by Justin back then.
Oh, yeah.
You know, JC was the only initial. Everybody else had full names.
Man.
But, so that's going on in music news. Like I said, his new album drops March 15th, which is only like 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away. And yeah, there might be some little NSYNC in there for you NSYNC fans. What else is going? Oh, go ahead.
I was more of a Backstreet Boys girl.
You were either Backstreet or you were NSYNC. You were never both.
No. Mm-mm. Moving on. So that was music. So let's talk about some food. Everyone likes food, right?
Yes.
Well, this caught my attention when I first saw it. This came out just a couple days ago. But if you haven't heard, the fast food chain Wendy's came out a couple days ago, as of this recording, saying that they were going to introduce surge pricing on their menu, meaning instead of having a set menu price all day, every day, no matter when you go, the price of the food would fluctuate depending on either the time of day or how busy the restaurant is. So, for example, if you wanted to go get, I don't even know what Wendy's sells anymore, like the Baconator, is that at Wendy's?
Yes.
Okay, so let's say you wanted a Baconator. If you go and get your Baconator at, I don't know, 2 o'clock on a Tuesday, it's probably going to be regular price versus if you tried to go get it at 5 or 6 o'clock on a Friday.
Kind of like a Uber. Like when you try to get an mm-hmm. Uber and then, you know, like if you go to a concert, the Uber is way more expensive leaving the concert than it is getting there.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. During peak demand times, the price would go up. Now they didn't like come out and say what exactly the prices would be. So no one really knows. I'm not saying it's like, oh, it's going to be $5 or $6 extra whole dollars. It's probably going to be, you know, $1 more here or $0.50 on this or whatever. I'm sure the different items, depending on what you get, would cost more and some would cost less. But the fact that it's not just a set price, I did not like that. That kind of made me upset.
Well, so the original conversation came up about 2 weeks ago. In a Wendy's earnings call. So when they're talking, you know, about profit mm-hmm. loss, all that, they said that they were going to roll out these digital menus. And one of the things that they brought up is that it said it could include quote unquote dynamic pricing beginning next year. And then now after they've started getting backlash, they're like, no, we didn't mean dynamic pricing. They go, we just mean that we can change things on the menu without having to like physically change it on the menu. Like you don't have to go up there and like in the old days you change the menu. That they were making it sound like no, we were just trying to make it more convenient to where we can just, you know, with a flick of a switch we can turn on this item, turn off this item. You know, they kind of started backpedaling when they started getting the flack for this dynamic pricing, and it's like no, we didn't mean that. We just meant that it would be easier to like declutter the menu. Like you could have a true breakfast menu and then take it down and put up the digital lunch menu, dinner, whatever. So they're kind of backtracking. They're like, no, that's not, we didn't mean dynamic pricing. Like, and that's kind of the funny thing is like, yeah, you did. 2 weeks ago, you did. And now the internet has won because that's what happens. You say something stupid and it's out there and social media will roast your butt for it. You know?
Yeah. Now they're trying the CYA.
Yeah. But isn't that's just really crappy though. That is really crappy that, especially in a time right now when everybody's kind of on a budget, that you want to sit there and you want to nickel and dime me just because we're busier. You know? It's like, just because it's dinner time and there's more people in the drive-thru, you want to charge me an extra nickel or quarter or dollar or whatever?
And eventually, this wouldn't happen right away, but like, let's say they enacted this and they're like, oh, I don't want to go to Wendy's at 5 o'clock on a Friday at prime dinner time because I know it'll cost more, right?
Yeah.
So people are going to go when they think it'll be, quote, less busy. But then those less busy times are just going to become the busy times. So it's going to be this vicious cycle of going back and forth until eventually it's just going to kind of like flatline and even out. And at that point, no one's even going to want to eat there anymore. I say if you're going to raise my prices, just raise them and then set them in stone so that I always know what it's going to be.
Just do like everybody else and just raise them. Just send me the email like Hulu does every 3 months. It's like, your Hulu is now going to raise up an additional $3. Just tell me that. Just tell me my Frosty is now going to cost me an extra 25 cents instead of giving me this dynamic pricing crap.
Exactly. That'll save me like a trip to the restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, and at this point, I'm used to like everything going up in price. I'm used to all the fast food being really expensive now. So that'll just, I'll look it up. I can look up the price at home. And if it's not in my budget or if I don't think it's worth it, I'm just not going to leave my house. I'll starve. I don't care.
So this is one of those things where the company sounds disconnected to the consumer. And that kind of segs us into the next story.
Mm-hmm.
Do you eat cereal?
Not as much as I used to. I don't a whole lot anymore, but I do like cereal.
So the CEO of Kellogg's, who's a millionaire, billionaire probably at this point, he was quoted as saying that poor people should eat dinner to save money. They should eat dinner. They should eat cereal for dinner to save money.
Yeah, yeah. Kellogg, so his name's Gary Pilnick. He's the CEO of Kellogg's. And they came out with this incredibly bad, tone-deaf marketing campaign that's aimed at like poor, struggling families, lower class families, advertising to just have cereal for dinner. And what?
It's quote, give chicken the night off.
I mean, that's a great slogan for, you know, maybe like Burger King. I don't know. Someone that sells beef, but this was insane. Like, you should not. Okay, I'm sure there's lots of families out there that might have to do this now to get by, and this is no me not judging them or giving crap for it, but in my mind, cereal for dinner means either one, it's like a one-off experience or a one-off event. You're super busy or you're running around. Like, time is just not there, right? Or you're too tired, whatever. You're sick, I don't know. Or you eat that for dinner because times are hard. You know, that's like, okay, I know the bar is low. We're going through a rough time. We nowhere to go but up kind of thing. That's how I view it.
So the guy from CNBC that was interviewing him, he even asked him, he said, do you think this campaign could, quote, land the wrong way with consumers? And Pilnick dismissed it. He said, we don't think so. In fact, it's landing really well right now, he replied. Cereal for dinner is something that is probably more on trend, and we would expect it to continue as the consumer is under pressure. What the F is that?
He's like, yeah, we know people just aren't going to be able to afford stuff. So eventually they're just going to get so hungry that they'll have to buy our cereal.
But I mean, just how tone deaf is that? It's just like, we know people are poor, but why don't you eat cereal? It'll, I mean, I get it. People are having a tough time right now. I get it. But you don't need to like market that either. You know, it's just like, hey, you're poor, eat our cereal. Like, it's not very cereal in general is not very nutritious for you.
No, unless you get like Total or wheat squares.
Yeah. The shredded wheat.
Shredded wheat. Oh, I hate shredded wheat. Maybe Raisin Bran. I don't know. All these cereals are full of sugar. All the nutrition's coming from the milk that you put on your cereal. And he's making a big assumption that people can also afford milk.
Yes.
If they can't afford other dinner, what makes you think that they can afford milk to go with your cereal?
Well, here's a thing to consider too, is have you bought cereal lately?
I have not, for this reason. It's so expensive.
It's expensive. And so a regular little, like a normal size box is probably like $6 or $7. I think I've seen it as high as like $8. And that's a small box. So the quote unquote family size ones, you know, the bigger ones, those are almost double digits now.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to think about a family that has maybe like 5 or 6 people. They got to have to buy the big box. So they're going to spend, you know, like $8 to $10, let's say. And then they got to buy a gallon of milk, which if there's 6 of them, that gallon of milk's probably going to be gone that night. So now you're looking at another, what, $6? $4 to $6, depending on how you get it. So now you're at like a $14 dinner for a family of 6. I'm pretty sure you can find something better for $14, $15 than cereal, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's at the end of the day, it's not really that good, as good of a deal as he makes it sound like it is.
No, it's not. If the cereal was cheap as heck, sure, but it's not. They keep raising their prices, and I swear on my life, you're getting less cereal in the box.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Every time. Definitely.
I feel like I'm getting less cereal in my cereal box. I'm getting less chips in my bag of chips and everything else.
But I just think that it's hilarious that you're telling me that your thing of cereal and your milk is going to cost me less than, let's say, like a whole chicken. Like maybe even if I had to cook the chicken, not a rotisserie chicken at the store, but like a whole chicken and a couple of sides of vegetables. You're still trying to tell me that that is cheaper. It's definitely not more nutritious, but you know, it seems really tone deaf. Now, I mean, like broke college kids, I've eaten cereal at night as a broke college kid. You know, we do what we got to do to survive. But he makes it sound like these families that are like knocking on poverty's door need this. You know, it's like a broke college kid meal. It's not something that you feed a family of 4 or a family of 6.
Mm-mm.
So I just...
No.
I just thought...
Let's boycott Kellogg's for a while.
That's like boycotting all the cereal, because I think they have kind of a monopoly on cereal.
The two main ones I know of are Kellogg's and General Mills. So you can go get like Cheerios, anything that says General Mills on the top. They have a lot of cereal too.
But you can't get Tony the Tiger anymore because he's Kellogg's.
I'll get Honey Nut Cheerios.
Ooh, yeah. That's healthier for you too.
Mm-hmm. Lowers cholesterol.
Myth. I think it's a myth. I don't think it really happens. Let's talk about weather for a second. So, you know, it's been a weird week in some parts, actually in all parts of the country. You had record high temperatures for this time of year. And now you're getting record like swings in temperatures. Like the temperatures have dropped dramatically over the last day, not even a day. I think like the last half day.
Less than 24 hours where we live.
You're seeing, I was reading somewhere that somebody had a drop of like 50 degrees from one morning to the next, or the evening to the morning. It was like 50 degrees. I mean, we were wearing shorts. We had the air conditioner on. I work at a car dealership, and I jumped in a car today to, you know, I started it for a customer, and it was really cold outside, and the AC was on. Because the previous day, another customer had test driven it and they were hot, so they turned on the AC. So it's like literally one afternoon, I've got the AC on full blast, and the next afternoon, I've got the heat on full blast. Like,
it is horrible for your allergies. It's horrible for people in general because people can get sick off of these kinds of temperature changes. For me, I get frustrated because it messes up my plants. My plants, I think they'll be okay because it's not freezing, but my plants are blooming and just growing like crazy because it's been so warm for the past couple weeks here where we live. And then I wake up this morning and I stepped outside and it was absolutely so cold. I think it was like maybe in the 40s.
Yes, it was in the 40s. Mm-hmm. And it was in the 70s when I went to bed. It was like in the mid 70s when I went to bed. And then I woke up and it was in the 40s. Windy, like windy, windy. Like, you know, like 20 mile an hour winds.
And people that live kind of where we live, we live out of Texas, Sergio and I, and people that live in the state of Texas at all or any surrounding states, we kind of get it because we live in a generally, like, what is it? Like a warmer region than mm-hmm. the rest of the country. And so when it gets cold here, or if we have cold weather, it comes blowing in like from the west, from the mountains, and it blows southwest and then goes up towards the east coast. So we get cold weather from a different part of the country, essentially.
Yes.
And that's what happened basically a day ago from us recording this, is that our normal temperature here was about 70, 75, 80 in the sunshine in the middle of the day. And we just had this gigantic cold front come in from the west, northwest. And that's why it dropped 30 to 40 degrees in a matter of a couple hours, because that wind, it's the wind blowing all that cold air. And in another 24 hours, it's going to all blow away and it's going to be back up to 70 degrees again.
By the weekend, we're going to be in the mid 70s. And it's like, springtime's back. And it's just like, dude, make up your mind, Mother Nature.
Until the next cold front.
You know, it. So I was reading a thing the other day, and it was talking about like, it was a, you know, like a gardening article. And it was saying that in our region, that we still have a hard freeze on average through March 12th. So there's still a chance that you could get a hard freeze. Like the average for the last 5 years, the average day has been through March 12th. So there's still a chance that we're not out of the woods yet. We could still get that blast, another blast that comes through. Don't forget, a couple of years ago, we had snow. So it very well could still hit.
I have not bought any spring plants yet. So I'm still waiting.
Don't put your plants out yet, and don't put your winter clothes up yet. I literally was wearing shorts one day. I had to break out the shorts from like the summer collection, and now I was back in my pants and my sweater. You know?
Someone in my neighborhood was mowing their lawn this past weekend, and I just dreaded that. And I was like, why are you doing this? Your grass is still brown. Because it's warm, you have to go mow your yard. Like, I don't get it.
I have a neighbor like that. The guy behind me, he mowed his yard like 3 times in December and January.
But nothing's growing.
He likes it a certain way. I mean, you know, that's just what he does. That's what he does in his spare time, is he does yard work.
Well, at least his yard looks nice, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. He should totally win Yard of the Month. I totally want to hire him to do my yard.
All right. Let's move on to a different topic. So we talked about weather. We talked about food. Let's move on to another different industry. Let's talk about cars, something you know all about.
Just a little bit. I know
just a little bit. Yeah, about it, yeah. Mm-hmm. So right now the average price for a new car in the U.S. is over $47,000. The average
$47,000.
Mm-hmm. And you have to remember, that's taking into account big trucks, big SUVs, and then, you know, also little cars like your Kia Soul or your little hybrid cars, you know, things
like that.
That's
the sickening part. That mm-hmm. is the sickening part, is that it's an average. You know, the way an average works is that you take the highest number and the lowest number, you add it together, you divide it, and you get an average. So there are cars that sell for like $70,000, $80,000 that aren't a Mercedes or a Maserati. They're just like a Ford. And they're not even like a Ford anything cool. It's just like, here's an F-150 for 70 grand. Here's a Silverado for 60 grand, you know? It's not even like the tricked out one. It's just like truck, you know? Mm-hmm. You want a basic ass truck? It's like 50, 55 grand for a basic truck. That's not even anything cool. It's just like, oh, you want the premium luxury edition? That's another 20 grand, 30 grand. oh, you want a 3/4 ton or a 1 ton? You know, like an F-350 is like $100,000 right now.
Oh my gosh, that's awful.
A 1 ton pickup is like $100,000. Like a pretty loaded up one is like $100,000. $100,000, that's a house. I mean, not anymore, but I only paid we paid $114,000 for our house.
Oh my gosh. You know?
10 years ago, paid $114,000 for our house. And now I can't even, that'd be like me buying a freaking Ford F-350, fully loaded.
Sickening. That is a big truck though.
Sick, but it's still sickening.
I know, it is. So, and then you have to buy gas and insurance and.
Yeah. So
I don't get into that.
So the prices have gone up. They all started creeping up during COVID and they've kind of kept creeping up because of the supply. There was no supply. We didn't have microchips. We couldn't do this. We couldn't do that. And now guess what? The everything's come back to normal. And, you know, for about three years, you drive by a Ford dealership or a Chevy dealership and you didn't see any cars. It was all like special. They all had to order everything. There was nothing in stock. And I told customers. Customers have asked me over the years. They said, when is the used car market going to go down? And I said, when the new car market gets saturated again. When you can drive to a dealership and you're like, hey, I want an F-150. And they're like, well, we got red, we got blue, we got black, we got this and that. They go, and we got black with leather and black with a sunroof and black with a sunroof and leather. Once they have like all these things and they have a whole plethora of them floating around on the lot, 100 cars, then that's when used cars go down. That's what's going on right now. The dealerships have they just have a surplus of vehicles now. They're back to how they used to be. But some of it is not because they're mass producing, which they still are, but not like the old days. But the problem is some people can't afford to buy a car. Average consumer can't afford it like they used to. And the rates are super high and all that stuff. So now, fast forward, these dealerships are starting to get a little saturated, got a little too much inventory on their lot again, and they got to start throwing out discounts, throwing out incentives. So that's what's going to happen right now. That's the good news. Is that, yeah, the average price is $47,000, but you're able to start seeing incentives that you couldn't see 2 years ago. 2 years ago, you were paying over sticker price. How insane is that?
That's awful. It also says that the analysts that conducted this all this research said that 2024 will be the best year to buy a car, at least in the past 5 years.
Yeah,
which is great news for me personally, because my husband and I are actually in the market for a new car here in the next couple months. We are thinking about getting a new one.
I know a guy.
So that'd be great for us. Oh, really?
I know a guy. He's really good.
It's me.
But no, yeah.
Me as info.
Yeah, me. the market's getting really good. I don't know if things are getting any better or not. You know, I don't, the interest rates and all that stuff still are not where they need to be to where you see like a big, big dent in the market. Like, you know, I think we're still a little bit away from that. So we'll see. It's a good time though. If you can get a good rate, it's a good time. It's just a good rate now is not a good rate. Like kind of like a house. It's not as good as it was 3-4 years ago.
From your professional opinion, what is a good rate?
Right now? Right now, if you can get like a 4 or 5, that's a good rate. But, which sounds kind of sickening because a good rate used to be like a 2 or a 1. Like, you know, an outstanding rate was like 1-2%. And now, outstanding rate is like 5-6%. We've seen some people get 8s that were like, man, that guy got an 8. He should have got like a 4. Like, you know, we really thought he would have got a better rate. But some of these lenders that are owned by the dealership or owned by the manufacturer, so like Ford Motor Credit or like GM Financial and Dodge Credit and all that, those guys kind of can manipulate it a little bit. So sometimes you can get a better rate by going through their lending. Sometimes. Okay. Not always. You know, if you've got a good credit union, your credit union will usually compete with their rate. So, and you're not married to a rate. Understand that. If you buy a car, let's say you buy it at a Chevy dealership and you go through their financing, you can refinance it in as quickly as a month. So you could buy it just to get all the incentives. Because if they're like, oh, well, you got to go through us to get all the rebates and blah, blah, blah. Do it. Get all the incentives. And then you can turn around in a month, refinance with your credit union or your bank, and maybe get the same rate or lower. And you already got all the, you got all the discounts up front, you know, because you get all the discounts, you get the rebates and the extra cash that they give you, whatever. So sometimes it is worth it to just eat it the way that they're going to sell it to you, just so you can get the best bang for your buck and turn around and, you know, you're kind of shooting them in the foot down the road when you do that, but who cares? I'm a sales guy, but I don't sell new cars, so I don't really care. But, but that's what new cars do. They make a lot of their money on the financing side like that, a lot of those incentives. But me selling pre-owned vehicles, I always tell the consumer, whoever gives you the best rate, go with it. If it's me, go with me. If it's your bank, go with your bank. I don't care. I'll finance, I'll accept your money however you bring it to me. Not everybody does that. Not every dealership does that.
It's crazy. Take their money.
But they don't, but they make more money. You know, this is newsflash. A dealership makes more money if they get the financing, if they actually work the financing part of it, not the consumer. But like I said, I'm from the school of thought that I would rather just have the sale. I don't care how I got it. I don't care if I did the financing or somebody else did it. I would rather just have the sale. So I do it however. I'll do it whatever makes the most sense for me. I don't care about the bank.
Look at you spewing all your car buying knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Educating people.
I'm trying to educate people. But yeah, new car guys don't like me. Because I throw out all the dirt.
Well, we just talked about cars. We can talk about one more thing, another mode of transportation. This has been in the news very recently, but we actually have some good old Florida man news.
Florida man strikes Florida again. Man.
Yes.
Guys in Florida, and it's always a guy most of the time, first of all. It's always a guy in Florida. It's not always, there's never really Florida girl or Florida woman. It's like Florida man.
So I did the good old Florida man news search, and here's the most recent news that came up. Quote, Florida man leaves tactical vest and loaded rifle behind after crashing stolen plane into lamppost, unquote.
That doesn't even sound like a real thing.
Yeah, yeah. And the person that wrote this article even says that if you were going to try to steal a vehicle, no matter what it was, you should at least know how to like drive it or control it before you tried to steal it.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
But this Florida man was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. So he tried to steal this plane and ended up crashing into a lamppost and breaking off one of the wings to the plane before he even made it to the runway. Now, granted, it's not like this guy was not super, you know, smart or stealthy. It's not like he was trying to steal a big commercial airliner, Boeing 737, nothing like that. He was just trying to steal a small, like a personal private plane type thing. But it's still really funny. And the picture's really funny because the wing is totally off the plane. And it's just sitting next to a little lamppost. this is too funny.
It was a Cessna 340A, if you know what your planes are. Which, a Cessna 340A is like, what does it hold? Maybe like 8 people? 6 to 10, maybe? It's not very big. And he tried to steal it. He couldn't even get it onto the runway. It's not that he couldn't even get into the air. The dude couldn't even get it into the runway.
And you have to understand, too, that the plane was parked on top of, like, blocks. Like, you know how you put, like, blocks behind, like, the wheels of your tire to keep your tire, to keep your car from moving? This plane was on blocks, so he barely even got them off the blocks before he crashed. So he crashes this plane, and then he tries to flee. And so he's fleeing the plane that he just crashed into a lamppost. And he was spotted on CCTV wearing a tactical vest. And then the police found that vest outside of the airport alongside loaded magazines and an assault rifle. So he's just like abandoned all his stuff to try to run away from the mess he just made.
So apparently when the cops got there, they found the pilot's operating handbook in one of the seats, like where it was like next to where the pilot would sit. there was the handbook. He's like reading the handbook while he's trying to figure out how to do this.
Do you think he was going to try to fly the plane with one hand and then like try to shoot something with the other hand? I don't know. I don't know what his MO was. What was he on? What is in the Florida air that made him think that he could do this?
I just think it's funny that he's trying to like read the manual while he's trying to fly this thing. I thought that was pretty entertaining. It was a gentleman, a 43-year-old man from Fort Myers, Florida. He has the charge of armed burglary of an unoccupied conveyance, grand theft over $100,000, and possession of a bulletproof vest. That's what he's charged with. I didn't even know you couldn't own a bulletproof vest.
Florida, maybe that's like a Florida state law? Because I'm not aware of that. Unless maybe it was like, it doesn't say if it was like stolen, because if it's like a stolen police bulletproof vest, that's a no-no. I'm not sure. But grand theft over $100,000. Man, you could commit grand theft with a car too.
This dude was literally playing the game Grand Theft Auto. Because in Grand Theft Auto, you can steal helicopters and stuff. So So the guy got it going. Here's the thing that trips me out. He got it going, and I get it. If you can't get it in the air, that's one thing. You just, you know, it takes some skill to... I think they say that on commercial flights, the pilots manually take off and land because it still requires some skill. So I understand that. Maybe you're not skilled enough to do that. But I would think you would at least be able to steer it and not crash into a lamppost. Like, that's just basic, like... That's basic stuff you learn playing like arcade games. It's still a steering wheel. It's a wheel of some sort that you turn. You ever see it in the movies? They kind of move it around like a steering wheel. The dude couldn't even move the wheel. It's like a joist. It's something. It's something that requires movement that we've all done since we were little kids. You know, it's either a joystick or some kind of wheel. I'm not a pilot, but I'm pretty sure it's one of those two. And I'm pretty sure anybody can do that. And that guy couldn't even do that. He just ran into a post. He couldn't go around it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, Florida man. Be better. Be better.
Do you think the owner of that plane, do you think they're pissed? Or do you think they're like, oh yeah, I'm getting a newer, better plane now. Thanks, insurance.
How do you have that conversation with your agent? Your agent, like, you're like, hey, I need to file a claim. Like, it was stolen. I mean, yes, but no. Like, and it was damaged. Yes, but no. It's like,
I mean, that plane's not flyable anymore. It's not like he can just get a little maintenance done. And it's,
I know,
it
but
is
it's
new.
Like, but it's like, how do you file that claim? It wasn't stolen, technically. It was damaged, but it's like, well, were you in a collision? Well, I wasn't, but the guy that stole it was. Well, what did he run into? He ran into a post. Well, how the hell did he do that? Because he didn't know how to steer the joystick. Because he didn't read the... He only made it to page one of the manual. You know?
Oh. And I'm glad I don't own a plane.
And then... Or you could just say, what happened, Florida man? That would be my insurance claim. They're like, what's your statement, Florida man? That's my cause of loss, is Florida man.
Mm-hmm.
And they might be like, okay, fair enough. Where do I cut the check to?
Let's exchange insurance. Oh, man.
Do better, Florida man. Come on.
Yeah.
That judge. Oh, I'm sure that judge is like, what? He's looking at the court docket. He's like, what did he do? It's like, okay. Them poor judges in Florida. Imagine some judge that moved from another state and now he's a judge in Florida. And he's like, what? He's like, this is what they did? Like, again? Like, this is a repetitive, this guy's a repeat offender? I didn't even know you could do that. You know?
Poor everyone in Florida, man. I can't. I think that's a good place to end it.
It is a great place to end it. Yeah, Florida, man. Just whatever, dude. So that's wrapping up news for the week of February the 26th. Leap week. Is that what
leap
it is?
Week.
Leap week. Leap year. This is a leap year. It's a leap day coming up.
Mm-hmm. If you want to know more about leap day or leap year, you can listen to our most recent episode where we talk about leap day and leap year facts.
Yes. So that's going to wrap up news for the week. Let's thank the sponsors. Let's thank Wavespace Audio for the music and Young Ideas. Dish, hit them up for your Dish Network, Google product, and cellular needs.
Thanks, guys.
So on behalf of myself and Ms. Caitlin,
hey,
we are Law and Disorder, and we will holler at you guys next time.
Bye.
Laters.